This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Doug Raxworthy is from the Gay Men's Prostate Cancer Support Group. And, you know, when you tell people you're from there, do they give you a funny look?
No, not really.
They don't? Oh, you must move you must move in a better group than me, because when I mention it, everyone goes,
Oh, no, it's, I guess I'm not really chatting to everybody about it.
No.
I walk up to them, so.
You don't walk up and down the beach. Now, if I may say so, you've had prostate cancer yourself?
Yes, definitely.
And how did you discover it?
I was really lucky in terms of there was no symptoms or anything else. So it was just the PSA test, which is just another tick on the box for your blood test, so nothing to stress out over there. And that sort of clearly showed something wasn't quite right. So I went and got some further testing, and everything looked fine. 2 years later, it was still going up. Some more testing, 50% of my prostate is gone.
Oh.
Yeah. So another two years right about now, I'd probably be in some serious trouble.
Right. What are the symptoms that people need to... obviously, people need to test. You know, that's the same with, you know, with any cancer, with any, you know, and another area, and any STD, people need to test. But what are some of the symptoms that might alert you to the fact, hey, perhaps you better get this looked at?
A reduced flow when you're going for number ones.
When you're having a piss.
That could be an enlarged prostate.
That could be enlarged. There's plenty of...
A cancer in the prostate, yes.
You name it. There's plenty of symptoms. It's really all to do with the plumbing down there, and you want to keep a good eye on that anyway at the best of times.
I think most men do, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah, especially gay men. Yeah. We've got helping. We've got staff. So in my case, there were no symptoms, so it was really the PSA test. There's a bit of controversy around the test in terms of... they're just wondering whether the results are scaring people more than actually they should. And it's really because every person's different. So you'll each get a different number resulting from that test, which doesn't necessarily mean high or low is bad. We've got men in the group who have got really high numbers, who have been on watch and wait, which is effectively keep an eye out on. Watch those numbers over the last decade, and they've been fine. So it's, there's a bit of debate going on in the medical community over how to interpret these results, but for me, the current doctrine worked out really well. Yeah.
So Doug, to the support groups, why is there a need to have a gay men support group? Now, I suppose I did ask this question of our previous guests around domestic violence. Why is it that we as non-heterosexual people need to have our own specialist dedicated services? What makes it different? What's unique about it?
I guess for gay men, I don't think I'm going out on a limb too far there to say that we really value the area and the plumbing around it quite a lot more than your general members of the community. And there's a lot... When you value things that much, when you lose them, there's just that much more of a loss as well. And it's
so there's a bit of love your penis sort of talk.
Definitely. Not to mention the after effects from having it removed have a dramatic change on how you perceive yourself and your sexuality, and also you wonder how much others are also perceiving you in that light too, because you're only going to get dry orgasms from there on out.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to prove to somebody that you really enjoyed their company when there isn't the usual. Yeah,
there's no mess.
Mm, yep. It's kind of handy, and that's why I guess there's a different perception from medical fraternity. It's like, what's all the fuss? Well, why are you worrying about this stuff? And it's
we worry about this stuff.
We totally do. You know. Yep. Yeah.
It's a challenge. You know, it's a challenging issue, and I think, you know, I've read a lot of the medical discussion about the test, and I mean, obviously the position is, well, we don't test. If you don't, the position isn't taken that you don't test. But encouraging men to test, you know, it's the same as getting people to, have STD tests. That, you know, I'm all right, you know, I don't need to.
Not quite. There's a bit of debate about the efficacy of the test under a particular age group. And I think 45 is about the sort of age. And my understanding is that the Urology Association issued a joint statement around this. It said, look, you know, it's really not that useful, but you know, you shouldn't necessarily stop doing it if you are concerned, if you have any concerns.
Yeah, I guess the consensus out there I'm seeing, and it's changing constantly, is that you really want to establish a baseline over a certain period of time, not just one test and then you're fine. It's really...
it's a trend.
Give your doctor a bit of a trend to work with.
And where you start.
Yeah.
You don't want to actually look into this at the finish. You want to get in at
correct.
The start.
So what happens in these support groups?
Effectively, we just compare notes. It's a good opportunity for... somebody to find
that's
out.
All you compare.
Actually, I think the straight groups that I've attended are a bit more risque than ours, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, we've got a tough act to follow there, but oh well.
What do they get up to as a matter of interest?
Oh, yeah, now you...
Oh, I had offers to demonstrate how to do the injection stuff for the erectile dysfunction sort of thing. I was like, oh, we've got a few volunteers.
No, okay.
Pull it out, put it on the table, and I'll show you how to do it.
Man,
I was torn between trying to be professional and being really, yeah.
That was Texas falling on the table then. I mean, it's fascinating. So how do people, first off, speak to your doctor, right?
Definitely.
Say, you know, I'd like to be tested for this. Now, in terms of how do they contact your group, if they want to have a chat or they want to get some more information.
Okay, so we've got a website. It's the Gay Men's Prostate Cancer Support Group. Just grab the first letter off each of those.
Yeah, gmpcsg.org.
.org.au, just like Joy.
Fantastic, fantastic. Think about it, guys. Very important. You want to get in on this at the start, not at the end, because last thing you want is not shooting, not good. Doug Raxworthy, thank you very, very much for coming in and talking to us about this. Really appreciate it. Think about it, guys. It's really important.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.